Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Once again, in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and yes, we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, once again, we are back on the air live again on tonight. We give God the glory, honor, and praise for it because it is marvelous in our eyes, and it's the Lord's doing, and because he is being glorified through this worldwide ministry platform because of the good news of Jesus Christ that's going forth over this worldwide ministry and platform. That's what it's all about, and that men, women, boys, and girls that tunes in that are spiritually blind would have an opportunity to hear God's word. They would have an opportunity to open their own mouth and confess their sins and ask to be saved in Jesus' name. That's what it's all about. And also that backsliders would be able to come back to the fold after hearing God's word. And then that the body of Christ would be strengthened and edified after hearing God's word. So here we are once again on tonight, getting ready to receive another word from none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He always shares with us inspirational poems first. But then he's going to go right into God's word after he shared with us another inspirational poem on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, because we don't want you or anyone else to take it lightly or for granted, or to even ever think that we make up things as we go over this ministry and broadcast. But it's all about what thus said the Lord. So that's why you need your Bible, your pens and paper ready so you can follow along with whoever is delivering God's word over this worldwide ministry and platform. But as I said earlier, we always open up with prayer because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. I'm asking all listeners, would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We love you. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for loving us first. Thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us even before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thinking about us, even for even having us on your mind, that you allowed us to be a part of your creation. And you not only created us, after breathing into the nostrils of man, mankind became a living soul, and you have a purpose for each one of our lives. So now, Lord, we come on tonight asking that first that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer in the name of Jesus Christ all over the land that are truly saved in Jesus' name on tonight. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we give you glory, honor, and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Thank you for his dying. But first of all, he came into the world as a baby in the form of flesh to pay our sin debt with his own precious sinless blood on the cross, which he did. And we are so grateful, those that are saved in his name. We're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, for his precious blood that still works and it will never lose its power. So now on tonight, Lord, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight. Should there be any listener that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, is our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said on tonight that will prick their hearts to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions on tonight. They also will open their own mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And they too will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their own individual God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We know that we don't deserve it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we know that you are our healer. We thank you that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed in the name of Jesus. So we lift up everyone that's sick and afflicted all over the land, Heavenly Father. You know who they are, and you know what they're going through, and you promised in your word that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. And we thank you that we are already healed, delivered, and set free through your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. We declare it and decree it to be so even now over your people on tonight. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, comfort and strengthen those that have bereaved on tonight. Let them remember and know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, now we pray that you will move by your Spirit on tonight. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us as your word goes forth with power on tonight through your man of God. And continue to bless each listener and continue to bless this worldwide ministry platform, that it will be everything that you have ordained and have set forth for it to be. For your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another scripture food for thought. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, Jesus said, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. Again, tonight's scripture food for thought. Jesus said, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. I do want you all to know that I still welcome all comments and feedback from all the listeners. I'm asking all the listeners if you will please go to my email, my website, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador/vessels. And once you get there, follow the instructions to be able to click on follow. I would appreciate it if you all would go to that website and follow the procedures and click on follow. I do appreciate each and every last one of you all from around the world that faithfully tunes in every Thursday and Saturday night to hear another word from the Lord. God is always speaking through his word, through his people. So that's why I thank God for this ministry and this platform, because I know it's not about us. It's about God's word going forth, that souls can be saved, that backsliders will have an opportunity to come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through God's word and through the prayers and through the testimonies over this worldwide ministry and platform. That's what it's all about, that God alone will be glorified. So once again, I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James underscore Brown 1558 at yahoo.com. Well, we're going to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Mervin Cox. Again, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, because he always shares with us first an inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's Word. So please be ready following this music break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear what thus says the Lord through his man of God, Deacon Mervin Cox, on tonight. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love that song, don't you? I give you praise. Why? No matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear, no matter what we see, no matter what we think or even feel, we are to always give God praise. Praise for who he is. Praise for what he's already done. Praise for what he's doing right now. Give him praise for what he's about to do in your life. And for the life of your family members and the life of your loved ones and your friends, continue to give him praise. He is worthy to be praised. What a mighty God we serve on tonight. So I am excited once again to bring forth once again none other than Deacon Mervin Cox. He's going to again share with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to go directly into God's Word. Deacon Mervin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen, amen, and amen again. I thank you, Brother Brown, for this opportunity. I thank the Lord for opening up this door and this window for me. It's truly, once again, an awesome responsibility to come before the Lord, you, and the listeners tonight to bring forth His rich and very rewarding word. Now, once again, I almost leaped out of my seat when you gave the food for thought, but you said that the Lord, now this is the Lord talking. It says, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend. And I know that to coordinate with the Lord's word, that He's going to constantly confirm and back His word up. And it's not a coincidence that tonight's word is dealing with friendship, is dealing with that friend. And even the poem that the Lord gave me to write is concerning a friend. So if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you about, and I'm making it personal. Now, you could, if you want to, you could use this poem and call him your friend too, but I know that he's my friend. I have a friend who is like no other, who sits closer to me than a sister or brother. In my times of trouble, he'll come quickly to my side. When I need him the most, he will never run and hide. In my times of weakness, he will tell me how to be strong. In my times of contrariness, he will let me know when I'm wrong. With my sometimes frivolous ways, he will never go along. He loves me for who I am and what he knows I can be. He truly brings out the best in me. He will light up the way when my path gets dark, when my energy gets low. He will give me a spark. His words heal, they will never kill. And when the storm clouds rage, he encourages me to be still. He sets an example on how to treat your fellow man. He is the good shepherd with a heavenly plan. He is my way, my truth, and my light. He wins battles for me that I'm too weak to fight. He is patient, honest, sincere, and for sure. His love and motivation for me is 100% pure. Unfiltered, uncut, his love has no end. There's only one who fits that description, and that is Jesus, my friend. Amen. As I was saying, Brother Brown, the word tonight and the listeners is coinciding with the food for thought. And I'll be reading to you from Proverbs. Our thought is coming out of Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse, out of the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, a friend loveth at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. I just read it to you from the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Amen. If we were to choose a topic tonight, that topic would be, a friend is better than a kin. And from the topic, we're going to expound upon that just momentarily. Say, a friend loveth at all times. So this means that this friend will never, never, never withdraw his love for you. And a brother is born for adversity. So let me break that down for you. That friend's love for you is perpetual. It's continuous. It would never stop. And that friend is not going to put you up under no type of obligation. He does the things for you because it's love in his heart. He accepts you for who you are. And it says, and a brother is born for adversity. So those times in our life when our kinery, when we're in trouble, we call upon them, and it's out of obligation sometimes that they respond. It's out of obligation that they, because I'm my mother's son and they happen to be my mother's son, at the same time, they feel obligated. They feel compelled to run to my assistance when adversity comes to me. But all the while, my brother has had a serious dislike for me. Why? Because we don't always be on the same page. We are constantly at odds with one another. But see, a friendship goes beyond that understanding. It goes beyond that bloodlines to the extent that that friend understands, that friend will accept you, that friend will even argue and disagree with you. But at the end of the day, he's going to love you. He's going to love you at all times. That withdrawal of his love will never be to the extent that you feel that you that he has abandoned you. And so that being said, we will move right on to John, the 12th chapter, no, 15th chapter, and the 12th through the 15th verse. And this is why I'm telling you tonight that a friend is better than a kin. It said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, the emphasis is on this 13th verse. It said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You mean to tell me that my friend, who is Jesus, is going to make that ultimate sacrifice for me? He did make that ultimate sacrifice, not only for me, but he made that ultimate sacrifice for me, you, and everybody else. He made that sacrifice that says so he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave up that life. He gave up his way of living. He gave up everything so that I may have that right to the tree of life. And then the food for thought, it was a graduation that took place, whether you know it or not, recently, when Brother Brown said that I no longer call you servant. And see, to graduate from servant to friend is a big step, because there is an obligation in being a friend. I'm going to tell you what the number one obligation of being a friend is, and that is to tell the truth. No matter what it might say in the circumstances, if you tell me the truth, then I know you that you're my friend. If you go along with my foolishness, then I'm going to question your friendship, because you allowed me to do things to my own hurt. And then verse number 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So that's what I'm saying, that the stipulation is that the Lord wants us to be obedient to us. And that's not a hard price. That's not a bad price. That's not a high price to pay when someone is meeting all of your needs, when someone would never lead you astray, when someone would not take advantage of you, never make you look bad in front of other people, always lifting you up, protecting you. That's not a bad trade-off. It's a, "Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant know not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." So to come from the servant table to the friendship table is not putting us on the Lord's level, but when you recognize as friends, see, that friend is a universal thing. That friend is supersedes all love, it supersedes all understanding. And the Lord is just telling us, say, "I call you not servants." So for the servant know not what his Lord doeth. So what the word is telling us tonight, I'm going to let you in on a little something. I'm going to share things with you that I would not share with a servant. I'm going to open and reveal mysteries to you that a servant would not know. I'm going to elevate you. So I don't know about you, but that elevation, I'm willing and I'm ready to take and accept that elevation, because it is something that we all should want. Say, "But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known to you." So if you go to your scriptures, the Lord is saying, I will hold no good things back from those who serve me. I will hold no good things back from those who do my will. And see, doing his will, they're not going against anybody. It's just doing the will of the Father, just putting myself in a position, putting you in a position so that when that time comes and that report is being made, you can say, Lord, Father, these are my friends. And see, we have to be careful because everybody, I have heard my wife often tell my sons and my daughters on many different occasions when they would drag somebody in here off the street and they would address them as friends. And see, one thing about a parent, I don't know about your parents, but my parents and my wife, she has X-ray vision. She can see through the motivation of people. Or if a better word, when you got discernment of spirit, you can see through people. You know what their motivation is. You know that their intentions towards your child is not good because they're going to use and manipulate and try to bring that child out of character in order for them to be the beneficiary of whatever plot they bring it forth. So the Lord said that I not only call you, I no longer. So being a servant is a thing of the past. I mean, we're going to serve the Lord to the day we die, but to be his friend, could you imagine how awesome that is to be in that position that I'm no longer. I'm a graduate. I've come up. He said, come up. I'll come up. I'll make you a ruler over many. So moving right along, we're going to move right to Proverbs, the 18th and the 24th, 18th chapter 24th verse. And it reads, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, who's any closer to you than your siblings? But as I was telling you earlier, sometimes, you know, we have discrepancies in our understanding of one another. We have disagreements. We stop speaking to our brother. We don't want to have nothing to do with our brother because our brother offended us. Our brother made us get angry with me. And that goes for the sisters too. And when I say brothers, I mean brothers and sisters, because there's some things that are disagreeable that goes on in our life that our brothers and our sisters, they will condemn us for that, which they don't have no right to do. But because they don't think that we should, because they try to pick and choose our husbands and our wives for us. They pick and choose the kind of car we should drive or the neighborhood that we should live in. Now, that's not a friend. That's not a brother. I mean, that's not someone that thinks that you is making the wrong decision. But if the Lord said, I want you to live down there in the middle of the ghetto, then that's where you should live. If your brother or sister say, I think it's unsafe, I mean, it's all right for them to show that type of concern. But in your times of adversity, it says a brother is born of adversity. So we have that moral, it's a difference, that moral obligation. When the question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? See, it was a moral obligation there. When sometimes when things don't go right with us, we expect for our brothers or our sisters to bail them out. But see, they don't have the power that my friend have. They don't have the say-so. They don't have the will that my brother, that my friend has. So what I'm saying is that our brothers and our sisters, no matter how well their intentions may be, they are limited. We are all limited. Now, let me tell you, and see, I'm going to talk about friendship on three or four different levels tonight. And we'll talk about spiritual friendship because what a friend we have in Jesus. And then I'm going to talk about it on the moral side, which is that there is a friend is better than a kin on all sides. And then I'm going to talk about it on a few other levels, the obligations and expectations of a friend. Now I'm going to scurry on down to Job, the second chapter, 11th verse. It reads to us, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that has come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." So now that's a friend right there that's going to leave his family that had already made a pre-arrangement with his family. When Brother James get in trouble, I'm going to go see about him. Y'all, you know, just take care. You know, I'll be back. But my brother, my friend, is in trouble. But see, the thing about it, they didn't leave to go to cater to any foolishness. The brother was in some serious trouble. Now, when you're in serious trouble, who's going to show up? Who's going to go your bond? So we're talking about this on a moral level, because we have ties to people, and we have ties to them in such a way that in times of trouble, we're going to automatically respond. This is going to be a no-brainer, as they put it. And, you know, our spouses and our family just have to understand, because that's a strong bond. It's not going to tarnish. My friend get in trouble and he's out of town. It's not going to, it shouldn't tarnish my relationship if I tell my wife I got to go and see about him. He's not doing too good. I got to go and encourage him. I just got to be there. So we're talking about that friend that's better than the kin, because sometimes you can call on your brother who lives next door to you, sometimes even in the same house, and he's not going to respond to that need like your friend on the other side of town. He's not going to show that concern like that friend on the other side of town. He's not going to show you that mercy like the Lord will show you. He's going to be unmerciful in his judgment and his assessment of you. It said, "For they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to do what? And to comfort him." So during my times of trouble, during my times of peril, I'm looking for somebody to come to me and comfort me. If you look at that Good Samaritan, when he just happened to come along the way, he didn't go through the rigmarole of telling that brother that had fell upon hard times or that had got beaten half to death. He did not say not one time, "Man, I told you not to come down this way. I told you it was cutthroats and thieves down this. Man, you should have listened to me." No. He didn't do that. He immediately jumped off his beast, and he bound up that brother. He took care of him. He didn't ask how. He just knew that he was in trouble. But see, some people that you may call when you're in trouble, to tell the truth, they'd be the last person that you want to call, because they're going to give you a sermon, and they're going to make you feel worse than you did before you even called them. Why? Because a friend is better than a kid. A friend is going instantaneously, he's going to do the microwave response on you. He's going to respond right away. But a brother is going to think back 5 years ago when he said, "Man, look, I told you not. Look, man, you won't listen to me, man. I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm tired of you." But a friend is going to do one thing which the Lord will do. A friend will labor with you until you get it right. A friend will let you know you don't have to go through this alone. See, I have some scriptures lined up that's going to back me up. A friend is going to bring forth that unity that you need in troubled times. And so Luke 6:31 tells us, "And as you would that men should do to you also what you want to do to them." So this right here, we could say that this is the golden rule. And if I was to phrase it a little bit differently, it says, the way I was brought up, it said, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, the only thing that I want to do to unto you and the only thing that I would ask you to do unto me is one simple thing, and that is to treat me fairly. If you treat me fairly, then I know you're not going to take advantage of me. If you treat me fairly, I know that I'm not going to be unevenly yoked. I know that the same expectations of me, the same expectations that I should have of you. So I'm going to do unto you, and I treat people the way I want to be treated. And that's my only thing I'm going to. There's not going to be anything that's going to restrict me from treating my brother fairly, because even though you may not return that love, even though you may not return that affection, my brothers and my sisters, continue to love, because whether you know it or not, well, you already know it, I don't have to tell you, it's a lot of ungrateful people out there, a lot of people that would take your kindness for weakness, for take your goodness for granted, will make you feel that you've been taken advantage of. But I got news for you. You can't make a good heart look foolish, no matter how hard you try. And if you're doing it from your heart, don't worry about it. But if you're doing it for other reasons to call a future favor in, I got one suggestion. Don't do it. If you're doing it to keep score, do not do it. Do it from your heart. Be like it is in Matthew, where it says, cast not your arms before men, you know. In other words, do it anonymously. Do it secretly, and your Father will reward you openly. Don't do it because you're trying to get some publicity. Don't do it because you want people to think well of you. Do it because the love is in your heart to meet that need of that needful brother or that needful sister. Don't put them, as they put it, don't put them on blast. Don't broadcast their business to other people. Now, that's a friend right there, one who's going to see and recognize and not expose you, but he's going to cover you. He's going to put you in a position whereas he's not going to want your shame or your embarrassment to show. He's going to give you something that's going to shelter you. He's going to give you words of comfort that is going to keep you comforted, that's going to keep you, when you're wrong, he's going to tell you. If you don't like it, then that's shame on you, because believe it or not, that demon is not going to tell you what's right. When somebody tell you what's right, if you don't think them then, you should find room in your heart to go back and thank that brother or your sister or that sister and say, you know what? I didn't realize how foolish I was acting. I thank you so much for correcting me at that time. When during my contrary times, I thank you so much for coming to my aid, coming to my rescue. Because you know what? I really, really needed to hear what you were saying. But my frame of mind at that time, I did not accept it. But once I allowed it to marinate within me, I realized that I was wrong. And I apologize to you, and I apologize to all of the offended parties. I repent, because I know that that is not the course of action that my friend wants me to take. Because he set an example for me. He let me know that when troubled times come, that I'm not supposed to retaliate. I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. So it's a hard fight. It's a hard fight. It's a battle. As Brother Paul said, there's a battle going on inside of me every day. And this battle is so strong within myself that it's a tug of war. And that tug of war is between evil, and that tug of war is between good. And each one of them is trying to, I know that You've probably seen the movies before, or cartoons or something like that, when you see an angel on one shoulder telling you not to do this, and then you see a devil on the other shoulder telling you, recommending that you do that. So it's fictitious, but that's how our ego works. We have a battle that's going on inside of us every day between good and between evil. But my friend, he gives me the evaluation of what's good. He lets me know what is evil. Job's friend, when they came to him, they say evil had fell upon him. And when evil fell upon a brother or a sister, those that is prayed up is supposed to rush to their side. Because, see, the thing about it is that evil is just like a squatter. And, see, if a squatter will move into a house, or just like those pigs that were legion, when they come there, they don't come by themselves. That unwelcome guest, they don't come by themselves. They say, you know, they bring their kids, they bring their friends, they bring their neighbors, they bring their roaches, they bring their rats. They say, you know, you have an infestation of evilness. So only way you can get rid of it, you can't get rid of it by yourself. You need somebody to help you to eradicate those situations out of your life, out of your system. And a brother, a praying brother, God's words say that if one, and I'm just paraphrasing here, if one could put so many on the run, then two can put 10,000 to flight. So if I had to break that down, it's telling each and every last one of us that the more prayer warriors that you have, you can make some things happen. Because it was a time in the Bible whereas one could not witness against another. So what they had to do, they had to call the brother. Even when it says if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. If a brother do something, then you go to him personally. Don't try to cause him no embarrassment. But if somebody else is aware of his wrongdoing, you go and you get a witness that is familiar with the situation. Don't make him familiar with the situation, but if he's familiar with the situation, then you too go to him, because there's strength in numbers. And then it's a process that you go through. And then if he still don't fall into line, you bring him before the church. But see, it's power in numbers. And so moving right along, we know that a man must be friendly. In order to be a friend, you must show forth friendliness. You must be in that position whereas you're willing, as I say, to give and to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You don't always want to be a recipient or always be the beneficiary of somebody else's generosity, because there are some out there that will have a pocket full of money, and here they will allow you, have the audacity to allow you to spend your last dime to buy them something when they could buy you something five times over. And you do it willingly because why? Because no greater love hath he. So a friend is better than a kin. And don't think for one minute that I'm trying to knock down family. That's the last thing I want to do. But I'm just saying, because of the kinery and the bloodline, if you look at Cain and Abel and the jealousies that exist in families, if you look at the prodigal son and his oldest brother, when his brother came back after he went out there and really was foolish in the things that he was doing, his older brother he disowned him. He told his father, he said, you mean to tell me, once again, paraphrase, you mean to tell me you're going to let this dude go out there and sleep with prostitutes and spend all of your money and squander all the things that you give him? Your son. He didn't say my brother. He said your son. You mean to tell me you're going to let your son do this? So it was a jealousy within him. And see, we have, they call it sibling rivalries. We have sibling jealousies because that focus is always on mama or dad. You treated so-and-so way better than you treated me. But see, they don't realize at that time that that parent, just like the Lord does, he meets the greatest need. And when it came down to that, the brother got to complain, and he says, you never ever gave me the fatted calf. You never gave me a ring. You never threw a party for me and my friends. But the father and his wisdom and his sage, his sageness, he told the son, he said, all of these things, all you had to do was ask, why are you going to wait? You know, your brother was lost. And this is why I say a friend is better than a kid. Your brother was lost. Now he's found. He was blind. But now he see. And the only thing you could do is become egotistical on me. Only thing you could do is become narcissistic on me. Because I'm so glad to see him. Because I ran out to meet him. I ain't moved like that in years. So a friend is better than a kin. Because, as I say, our relatives sometimes, when we get a promotion, you don't believe me. Look at how it is on the job sometimes when you get a promotion. And look at the jealous, the envy, and not only that, but the rage that comes inside of people. They don't want to, you know. You can tell when somebody is excited for you because two things will happen. They either become elated or they become deflated. Now, I will become deflated because what happens to you, I feel that it happens to me. When you bring me good news, I've told people many times, hey, you're going to make me pay the government back because I'm going to run and jump and scream up and down the street, and I ain't supposed to be doing that. And you know, it's cameras everywhere. But I'm going to be so excited about the blessings that the Lord has given you. Now, that's how friendship works. We be so excited about the Lord blessing our brother, our sister, that it's just like it happened to us. We become recipients, and that's how I want my friendship to be. I want to be able to encourage my brothers and my sisters. Say, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, this is Colossians 3:12-14. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, this brother, this prodigal son's oldest brother, he was unmerciful. He was unmerciful in the things that he was doing concerning his brother. He didn't realize that his brother had went out there and was living way below his dignity, living way below his standards. He was compromised. And when you compromise, you automatically begin to do things that you wouldn't normally do. And number 14 says, and above all this, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So we have to be charitable. Even when people have done things, be charitable for them. When they've done wrong, be charitable towards them. Because most people don't understand mercy. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, I'm going to tell you why there's strength and unity in numbers. Ecclesiastes 4, 4th chapter, 9th and the 10th verse lets us know two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So if we work together, it ain't nothing that we cannot accomplish. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. So if Brother Brown, if you fall down, Brother Robinson, if you fall down, I'll be there to pick you up. If I fall down, you'll be there to pick me up. But listen to this. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, something else to be in this world when when it says like there's no help, none available, you to fail, and you don't have the strength, you to injure yourself, you don't have the strength to pick yourself up. And sometimes we fall and we look around and we be wanting help, but we don't have no help. And that's the hardest thing it is, to be helpless. Now we're going to move over to Proverbs 27, the 6th and 8th chapter, 6th and 8th verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So when my brother is injured, just like when Job was injured, he was injured psychologically, he was injured physically, and he was injured spiritually. His wounds, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy, see, are deceitful. So when other people go to pat you on the back and tell you how good you look and all of this and that and all that, tell them, hey, I appreciate the compliment, but I would, you know, just get on out of my face. So faithful are the wounds. So whenever we fall into that category, whenever we find ourselves that in that position that we have fallen and we have no friend, but see, I'm talking about that friend. I'm talking about that friend that will stick closer to a brother. I'm talking about that friend that will lay down his life. I'm talking about that friend who is always there. I'm talking about that friend who no longer call you servant, but call you friend. I'm talking about that friend that will lead and guide you unto all truth. I'm talking about that friend that accepts you for what you are, but he see your potential to the point that he's going to labor with you. He's going to encourage you. He's not going to discourage you. He's going to discourage you, of course, from doing wrong. He's going to tell you that he disagree with something that you're doing when he know that it's against your soul. Now, I think I would be adjusted to somebody like that. He would tell you when you need to tame your flesh, when you need to sit your little dusty self down. Now, that's a friend right there, because that demon is not going to tell you. He's going to encourage you to wink at your neighbor's wife. He's going to encourage you to go out with your neighbor's husband or whatever the situation might be. He's going to encourage you to do wrong. Why? Because that's not your friend. And I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to bring it to a close. And this is why. And James 4:4, and this is how he is addressing these people. Say, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, you can go out there and embrace the world if you want to. You can be a friend of the world, but the word of God is saying that you are his enemy. Why? Because you are patronizing that which is evil. You're patronizing that which God detests and sees. Enmity is something or someone that goes against something, somebody that is in direct opposition to something. So if I oppose God, if I denounce God, if I do those things that God and the Lord, my friend, told me not to do, then I'm denouncing. I'm disregarding the things that will be able to help me work out my soul's salvation. So we have a choice to make. He's my friend, but the question I like to ask myself, am I his friend? Because all those things that I just mentioned, how sometimes a person don't call on you until they want to borrow your money. A person don't call on you until they need a favor. A person don't call on you until they want something from you. Now, it's something to be in need. I mean, we all at one time or another need something from somebody. Don't, you know, we just might need somebody to open up the door for us when we're bringing our groceries in the house, or just to wash the house for us while we go here or go there. But I'm going to explain to you about my friend, the one that went my bond, the one that died on Calvary's cross for me. But I'm not his friend. As I've said earlier, those that follow his commandments. And see, that sounds kind of harsh right there, follow his commandments. But these are things that is to my benefit. Some things, even though we have a choice, some things we have to tell our children, look, this is what I want you to do. This is how it's going to be done. And all it's calling us into is obedience. See, those commandments are nothing but rules and regulations to call us into obedience. So, as I say, my friend, and I hope before this night is over with, your friend also. Because what a friend we have in Jesus. And with saying that, I'll now turn it over back into the hands of Brother Brown. May God bless you. May God keep you. And I especially thank you for the privilege of your time. And in these times, talk to the Lord. It might seem like you're lonely because of all the things that's going on, but I know a friend is waiting to hear from you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that word on tonight. I'm sure someone needed to hear that word. God always sent a word to his people because he already knows who's going to be listening. And he already knows what we all stand in need of. So thank God for people like you, Deacon Marvin Cox, and all the other guests that come forth over this worldwide platform and share the good news of Jesus Christ, encouraging God's people, our sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God's word. You see, that's what we got to learn how to get back to. Learning how to encourage one another with the words of the Lord, not our personal feelings or opinions, but with the words of the Lord. So we thank God for you again, Deacon Marvin Cox. We thank God for every listener. I know that this word has not gone out void. It's going to accomplish everything that God has set out for it to do through every listener that have faithfully tuned in on tonight. Because once again, God already knows who's going to be listening, and he knows what we stand in need of. What a mighty, awesome God we serve on tonight. Well, on tonight, I do want you all to know that I love you. I know that you all love me, apparently, because you all are faithful listeners. You're faithfully tuning in, and I appreciate you all because you don't have to do that. You could be doing other things, but God put it on your heart to tune in and listen to what God has sent through his people over this worldwide platform and ministry, because we have different many different people that come forth over this worldwide platform bringing forth God's word. Not just Deacon Marvin Cox. He's one of the faithful ones. But we have people like Pastor Norman King, Pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries from Greensboro, North Carolina, bringing forth God's word. Pastor Eric Morphis, the pastor of Eagle Wings Church, located in Warren, Michigan, come forth over this worldwide platform sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Then we have other guests that come forth and sharing powerful testimonies and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Every now and then, the Lord will place on my heart to deliver his word over this worldwide platform. So I just thank God for every person that God has ever used over this worldwide platform to deliver his word. Lord be willing, on this coming first Saturday in July will be the 7th year that we've been on the air delivering God's word. What a privilege, and I don't take it lightly or for granted. I would like to give God the glory, honor, and praise for, because it is him who has opened this door. Because just like Jesus said before he left the world, before he left his disciples, he said, greater works that we would do, the believers in Jesus Christ. He knew that we would have the internet, the World Wide Web, where we can reach millions of people at one time. Millions of people can be listening in over the World Wide Web, over the different internet sites, and get the good news of Jesus Christ, hear a word from the Lord through his people, through his servants, through his vessels, through his ambassadors. but it's all about the good news of Jesus Christ is going forth with power over the airways around the world, that people are being saved. Backsliders are coming back to the fold, and the body of Christ is being built up and strengthened and edified through his word, through his people, through his anointed people that he has called and anointed and appointed to preach and teach his word. So we just thank God for what he's doing in our lives individually, and then what he's doing in our lives as a corporate body of believers around the world, that we're touching and agreeing with God's word and his will for his people, even on today. So thank God for you, the listeners, on tonight as we're ready to close out for tonight. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you are truly worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth and in your hands. No matter what it looks like, you are in total control. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your only begotten, beloved Son, in whom you said you're well pleased. We thank you for him. We thank you for his life, for his sacrifice, that he came down from glory with a purpose which he fulfilled. He came down with sinless blood, and he paid our sin debt with his sinless, holy, and righteous, precious blood, that we can be saved, we can be redeemed, and be brought back to you in good standing and fellowship. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the work that has been finished on the cross. And through him, we have the victory over death, hell, and the grave through your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who is now sitting at your right hand, making intercession for the saints of God everywhere. So now, Lord, we ask that you continue to move by your Spirit, continue to bless and anoint and touch all those that you have anointed all around the world that are standing on your word, that are delivering and preaching and teaching your word around the world. Heavenly Father, continue to bless them, continue to strengthen them, continue to heal and strengthen their bodies and minds and spirits, and grant them the desires of their hearts as they continue to move forward and fulfill their individual God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to bless the worldwide listeners that tuned in faithfully to this worldwide ministry. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name, once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us that we don't deserve. But we thank you for them all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, know once again that I love you, but know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.